Welcome to Binary Jazz, again, to another episode. I'm Chris, Jazz Sequence on the Internet. I'm joined, as always, by Binary Gary. Gary in real life, he is a Shakespeare historian, analyzing the, specializing in the myths around Shakespeare.
The Bard.
Yes. And Allison, who's Allison Plus on the internet, and she is a toenail collector.
Wow. Yes.
Large mason jars in her basement storage.
Lining the bookshelves. They're not for books at all.
No. They're trophies.
How do you catalog such a thing?
By
color, smell?
Oh. Shape. Shape would be the clear winner out of all the options.
And this is Binary Jazz, and it's a show where we make each other uncomfortable and attempt to talk about
things. Usually not quite this early in the episode, but here we are. That's happy right. Monday, everyone.
Happens when I do intros. Not usually.
What do you think the most listened to day... Wait, let me rephrase this. No, I'm not. What do you think the most listened to day of podcasts is? Do you think people listen to more podcasts on weekdays or weekends? And do you think that if it's weekdays, what weekday? I guess what day of the week do you think most podcasts are listened to?
I don't know. I think Monday is probably pretty good.
Okay. Happy Monday, everyone.
welcome to your week.
I'm sure there's data and analytics we could look at, but I'm just gonna just go run off the cuff and say Monday. I'm not gonna bother myself with any kind of data.
Who needs data? Who needs, put the dog out.
Who needs any of that?
I think, yeah, after the weekend, I think people are like, they load up the, like, all the backlog of podcasts that they didn't listen to the week before.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I always have a backlog of podcasts.
I'm looking at our feedback, our questions. We didn't get any questions, but we did get... two spam emails, both involving bitcoins in really bizarre kind of ways. One of them wants to share with us a magical purse that doubles your bitcoins.
Ooh, that's so fanciful.
It says, I do not know why this works, but it works.
Can we go on a quest to find this Bitcoin purse?
Magical purse. Well, apparently we could just email Taylor Knott at somerandomnumber@gmail.com.
It's not fakey. If it's not fakey, not I don't fakey trust
McFakerson
it.
Fakey McFakerson this time. Fakey McFakerson is too real of a name.
I like the idea of a magical Bitcoin purse.
It does. Yeah, it does sound pretty interesting.
Because I picture it like a fancy brocade, and it's like almost like a pencil pouch of some sort.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But secretly it's a bag of holding, and you shove all of your bitcoins in it, and it has an infinite capacity for storing bitcoins.
Like Mary Poppins' bag of just infinite bitcoin.
Yeah.
You missed a lot, Yuri.
No, I heard it all.
Even Charlotte is like, no, I'm having none of this bitcoin.
Yeah.
We're also joined by Charlotte, who is a small astronaut in training.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
But no pressure.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want to do with your life. But I mean,
you're definitely going to be
as long as you're an astronaut.
Yes, as long definitely. As you part-time astronaut, everyone will be very satisfied on this podcast. I don't think you can be a part-time astronaut at this point.
Wait, what? Okay, the other one is an advertisement, and it says, your advertisement is placed on 15,980 high-traveled sites of different mazes.
Again, it feels like a quest.
What? I feel like if I'm advertising a site of mazes, like, come on, guys, like, better site architecture. Site's a maze, it's not great. Bad user experience.
Take sitemap to a whole new level. Like, get out
of it. It's like a tattered piece of paper with an X in the corner. There's that blog entry. How do I get there?
How do you exit the site if you dare?
Just shut the laptop.
Your magical pouch of Bitcoin.
Spam is weird. You have to check the spam and make sure that nothing got filtered accidentally as spam, but spam.
I have not checked spam in a long time. I figure if somebody wrote something and was marked as spam,
you know, they'll follow up and say, hey, you jerk, why didn't you reply?
Yeah, except if they're being marked as spam, then their next reply is probably going to get marked as spam too. That's the problem with spam.
I don't know that anybody would email me that I wouldn't also find in a Slack somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I don't reply to their email, they would be like, what's the deal?
Yes, well, we live on a very special planet.
Let's get into the topic.
I love that that was the most amusing. Okay. My topic this week is 52 Hertz Whale.
52 Hertz Whale.
52 hertz is really low. Is this the big sound that came from the ocean? What do they call it?
Which, by the way, just to clarify, the ocean, not as big as space.
But really big.
But still pretty big.
It's vast. It is vast.
I just want to clarify for listeners.
Yes, for new listeners joining the show for the first time, the ocean is really big, but not as big as space.
If you leave one thing today, let that be the thing, I guess.
I think so. I think it's better to keep within the scope of, you know, knowing where you fall within the vast umbrella of existence.
The relativity of size of other objects, yes. Yeah. I mean, and it's not as, you know, if you left learning about that, it'd probably be better than leaving with the only thing you learned about being a Dyson sphere.
Or Bitcoin.
Magical Bitcoin purses.
Magical. I'm going to go with one.
I want Dyson sphere coin. Hey, one of the things that bothers me about Deep Space Nine is the intro music makes it seem so dramatic and beautiful, and it's just like an outpost on the edge of a wormhole. It's they really ruined the music for it, I feel.
So 52 hertz whale?
Whale.
W-H-A-L-E?
Correct. And hertz, H-E-R-T-Z.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Just in case. Well, and 5-2 while we're spelling things. What did you first say about it, Gary? Did you say
it's a low frequency.
It is a low frequency. It's a very low frequency. Probably lower than our range of hearing.
I don't think it is. I think that human hearing is like human hearing starts with a 4, either 40 or 400, which in the grand scheme of things is not that dramatically different. It's only in one order of magnitude. That's not like I have to guess that space is more than one order of magnitude larger than the ocean. Probably multiple orders of magnitude. So in the grand scheme of the way Gary estimates things, pretty dang close.
Pretty dang close.
I feel like humans, actually now that I say that, I feel like humans, wow.
Well, definitely lower than my range of hearing.
52 is?
Probably. Actually, no, there's a certain frequency. So we learned this a couple times recently on trips. So when we went to Denver, there was some weird, there's an insect that was making a noise. And Aaron is like, what is that sound? I'm like, what sound? Like that sound, that bug sound, don't you hear it? I hear nothing. And then she asked the kids, like, do you hear that bug? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Dad doesn't hear the bug. What bug? I have no idea what you're talking about. And then we were when we went yurting, we were out walking in the night because there's a moon, it was a full moon, so we went on a moonwalk. Moonwalk. we were walking backwards the entire time. And there was a different bug making sounds that had the same thing. Like, what's that bug? I have no idea. I don't know what you're talking about. I hear nothing at all. And there's just like a frequency that I guess multiple species of bugs, because they're different, create the sound. And it's beyond my range of hearing because my hearing is crap. So that was fun.
It's also kind of an ignorance is bliss, because it's like everyone else is just like, oh, that bug, it just won't shut up. And you're just like, doo, doo, doo. Like, it's fine.
What'd you say? I can't hear you.
Is there a bug on me? Who knows? I can't hear it.
I wonder. Is within human hearing. Because I think about like an equalizer, right?
Like where you can tune different frequencies.
Uh-huh.
Like there's definitely one like in the 40 range.
Possibly.
16 channel graphic EQ. Yeah. So humans at least can perceive that frequency. I think this is the most important part about it. Forget the whale. Let's talk about this frequency. 52. Why is 52 an important number?
Forget the whale.
Yeah.
So it's audible.
Very, very low. It's probably one of those things that they feel as much as.
What's that phenomenon where a bunch of recording stations in the ocean like heard a thing?
Was that the boop or the blip or the blip? I think it was the oceanic blip.
Oh, don't but Google I still wanted to be the boop.
That it was a big sound, and at first they thought, well, it was like some kind of like ocean detonation far away, but it was recorded in multiple like stations far from each other.
And I think that ultimately they settled on it being tectonic shifting or something. But I really want it to be like a whale, like going boop.
That's 52 hertz. That's what I want this to be. I want this to be related and identical things. Can we make that happen?
Well,
we don't need to talk about that.
It's not whale centric, but I saw a thing recently about elephants. Not recently, a while ago. About elephants, and they have this really deep, low sound that they create that is below the range of human hearing. So we can't hear it, but it, because it's such a low frequency, it travels vast distances, and they think that they use that to communicate to other elephants that are like miles and miles away.
What frequency is that, Chris?
52.
Interesting. Fascinating. I would expect it to be a bit higher, because I feel like, you know, like it probably travel further in water than in air, but okay. I don't believe you.
You shouldn't believe me about anything.
Yeah.
Ever.
You could establish that. So this is the way whales communicate. 52 hertz whale.
Yeah. Yes. I'm gonna say that's the communication frequency for whales. Humpback whales specifically, because as we all know, humpbacks sound like
What causes that? What resonates at 52 hertz? Is it like a sound they make in their throat, or like they
for whales or elephants?
Whales, like they pulse, like the air escaping from their blowhole at 52 hertz. What's
not blowhole?
Okay.
Whales, the elephants.
So whales have a voice box that, you know, as we know, that's what makes men's voices lowers. We have this voice box. So the whale's voice box is essentially the entire length of their body. So the bigger the whale, the lower the frequency of the sound that they create.
What if whale is not actually
an animal? Don't Google
that. Seems a bit too on the nose, right? For a topic for this show. Maybe whale is a euphemism for something.
Because we all know that I rarely bring things to the table that are straightforward.
Yeah. That was where I was headed.
Euphemism. By the way, someone brought up to me that they asked how Dyson spheres arrive at events. Like, how do you care? Like, is it in a box? Like, how do you transport?
So you keep it in a small cooler filled with ice, obviously, as you do. And the only thing
ice in your Dyson sphere.
Yeah, your ice in your Dyson sphere. And the only thing in the cooler is the Dyson sphere, because it's the only thing that would fit in the cooler. The cooler is about, yay big, and you stick the Dyson sphere. It's like one of those six-pack coolers, except it has a Dyson sphere in it filled with and ice, and you bring it to your event, and you say, voila. There's a big reveal as you lift the top off, and you lift it out, and there's the Dyson sphere, and you put it on the grill, and you cover the grill, and then you forget about it for about 4 hours.
Kind of like when something comes out of like one of those cryogenic spheres and like.
Right. I mean, yeah, exactly. If you can feel.
It requires like a light blue, like light below it to help illuminate the fog rolling out of the cooler.
If you can put dry ice in there first, then that's even better, because that keeps it cool. And then you can pour water over it to, thaw it out. And that will create the smoke effect that will then follow you as you lift the Dyson sphere out of the cooler.
My answer is the same way you transport a watermelon,
It's like under the arm.
Yeah. And like nervously, like you're going to drop it the whole time, and you pack it in the trunk so it doesn't roll around. So yeah, I mean, like entirely like that.
I hadn't even thought about dropping a Dyson sphere.
Some sort of Dyson sphere sling.
Oh man. Now that I thought about it, it's disgusting. What sound would it make? Listen, it wouldn't be a 52 hertz, I'll tell you that. It would be like a little splat.
You know the Foley of the fights in Fight Club? It would make that sound.
Yeah.
a very deep, meaty, like fist punching the face sound. God.
Oh, it's so gross.
Glad I brought us full circle or full sphere.
You definitely have more interactions with actual human beings who listen to the show than I think Gary or I have. And that is fascinating, considering you are probably the most introverted of the three of us. You actually talk to people?
It's true.
How does this happen?
I don't know. It's all coincidence.
I like to keep people safely inside this box here. That's it. End of the day, close it.
The only people I talk to on a regular basis are those that I live with.
Yeah.
I don't
leave the house. I don't talk to anyone.
But the podcast seems to bring out questions, mostly Dyson sphere related.
Well, the binary check has a podcast about Dyson spheres.
I mean,
it's because people I know I don't socialize with, but then they listen to the podcast and feel as if we've socialized. It's perhaps the best introvert strategy ever, because it's like,
you don't actually need to have those conversations. Yeah.
But they basically hung out with us, which is great.
That's fair.
All the birds, all the stones, whatever weird phrase you want to use for it.
Birds.
I don't need to hang out with everyone, because I can just do it here once.
and they can do it as many times as they like.
You can listen to
them hanging out. Yeah.
If you want to hang out,
you can make that happen.
There's loads of hidden Easter eggs in every episode. You just need to look for them. The more you only get them on repetitive.
Makes me sound like such an antisocial jerk, where I'm like, I don't need to hang out with you. Just listen to this episode.
Yes,
people are like, what are you doing next Thursday? Do you want to hang out? Sure, let me send you a link.
Yeah. Sign up.
But if you would like to come on the show, we record on Thursday mornings. Yeah. You can join us and talk about that.
They all think it's Monday.
Well, they can listen whenever they want. We record on Thursdays.
I was going to say break the fourth wall, and then I was just like, I don't even know if that works for audio.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Well, fortunately, there's a video version of the podcast.
There's also the wall between, like, time.
Why do we still call them podcasts if iPods aren't things anymore?
That's a thing. I have one.
They're not things. What is this?
That's a phone.
Well,
color me corrected. Was that like an iPod Touch or is that a phone?
No, that was a phone. But we have an iPod Touch. So fun fact about iPod Touches. The sixth generation iPod Touches are made, I guess they made the sixth generation iPod Touches and the iPads the same, or they don't have screws, which means that if the screen breaks, they can no longer pop off the screen and put a new one on. They have to replace the whole damn thing.
Ooh.
Which just goes to show you where technology has taken us. We are now at the point where a roughly $200 piece of technology is disposable. And it's easier and faster for them to just give you another $200 device, actually $140, whatever, for the replacement, than it would be to put the time in to just change the glass.
Oh,
that's like a business and design decision, right?
It is, but that,
it's not like you're like, yeah. Wait, like, would you want to, I don't know. I mean, I might, I'm not sure. Would you want a device where you could like flip a couple clips and then pull the screen out and slap a new one on?
Yeah.
Once my warranty has expired, yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like my old iMac had this thing where it would eat up hard drives. So we just backed up and I would change the hard drive every like 6 months or something.
Do that. I have an iMac behind me on the floor and I have popped the screen off and I haven't taken the hard drive out.
So you put like a plunger on the screen to pull it up.
Yep.
Yeah. It's great. I about lost a screen one night doing that, drinking beer at the kitchen table and pulled it off and realized the screen was slipping and fortunately it crashed into the table and not to the floor. Yeah. Now the new iMac, like I'm pretty sure the hard drive is just soldered on the board and everything else is soldered on the board, and my upgrade is plug something into USB.
Upgrade.
Or, yeah, I don't know.
Living that dongle life.
Are you guys big USB-C users yet or no?
Judging by the amount of adapters and USB whatever normal hubs I have lying on my desk right now, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. I think I have a couple devices that take USB-C cables for that.
I have...
Overrated.
I have one of those. I have a hyperdrive, which is those things that fit into the side of your MacBook. And it has two USB-C ports, one of which is actually in use that connects a monitor, like a DVI monitor thing cable, because I still have a DVI monitor. And it's also got, what else does it have? Oh, it's got my Ethernet connection, because I still used a wired network connection, because I'm old school. And then it also has two USB ports, one of which goes directly into an external hard drive, and the other one goes into a four-port anchor USB hub, which connects all my other things. And that's and then the other USB-C port that I have is just going to power. So that's what I have. And I have many USB-C adapters for various things. The one I use most is the USB-C to USB adapter. So yeah, I'm not a big USB-C user right now.
It's pretty compelling.
Yeah.
Now that no one's listening, we can talk about the real secrets.
52 hertz whale.
I'm still rocking my 2014 MacBook Air, so that's where I'm at.
Loved that device. That was my last laptop before this one. And I just love everything about it. I love the way it felt. I love how light it was.
I
wish that I had more RAM. If I had more RAM, I'd still be using it.
I'm due for an upgrade, and I am struggling to move on.
There's not a great replacement. Yeah.
that's, yeah, I'm just kind of dragging my feet because I'm not pumped and I want to feel thrilled when I invest such a large chunk of money in something. So,
I mean, the best.
I used to do like an entire day's worth of work on one battery charge on that thing. I mean, it was insane. You know, like just how much. Now I get 4 hours. What?
The best MacBook that I had before, the one that I have, which is good, but probably it's not as impressive as the other ones, which were the late 2011, early 2012 MacBook Pros, where you could still open them up and either replace the memory or put up to 16 gigabytes of memory in them, and they're only advertised for holding 8. And then the year after, or the next model after, they soldered the RAM on so that you couldn't actually change the RAM. So I have one that I opened it up and upgraded the RAM, and then I have another one that I got for the kids to share, which is obviously a problem, and we need to get a third one, which I got with 16 gigabytes of RAM. And I bought that on Facebook for like $500 or something. So like you could get, and it's 16 gigs is not nothing to shake a stick at. And I mean, the hardware is not that
bad. Have you considered Chromebooks for the kids or no?
Have I done what now?
Considered Chromebooks for the kids or no?
I've done all sorts of things. I did Edubuntu for a while.
Yeah.
And they hated it. And then I did some other Linux distribution. They hated that too. I'm pretty sure if they ever saw Windows, they'd hate it. But my son really wants to build a computer, mostly for gaming purposes. And so Windows is obviously the gaming platform. And I'm like, dude, you're going to hate it. Let's build you a Hackintosh or something, because that way you can switch into an operating system that you actually like are used to and know how to do things. You're not going to like a Windows. That said, I haven't used Windows in about 10 years, so probably things have changed a little bit.
I don't know what I'm thinking for my next one, but I'm not really thrilled with the offerings right now for Apple. What am I on?
I'm thinking of going
mid-2015. I'm going to hand carve my code and send it via courier to GitHub.
Yeah, I have a 2016, the newer MacBook Pro with the emoji bar.
Emoji bar.
That's all it's good for. I actually haven't used the emoji bar.
Played it all with the API on that thing or no?
No. I mean, I installed a couple.
Because I feel like that would be my next replacement for my prompt. Instead of putting stupid things in my prompt, I would put stupid things on my emoji bar.
I installed a couple things that were dumb. One of them was a Nyan Cat. And one of them was, what was it? Oh, it was the kit, like a kit bar. And then I actually installed some things that were actually useful. But really the thing I use it most for is, the Touch ID, which is freaking phenomenal. That's makes the entire thing worth it. Like I hardly use the stupid bar, but the Touch ID is the best part of it. But, you know, pretty soon everything will be Face ID and it won't matter.
What if you lose your face?
That's a legitimate question. I mean, we get National Geographic in the last issue of National Geographic was about somebody. The last issue of National Geographic was legitimately about somebody who lost their face and got a face transplant.
So does a new iPhone come with that? Or how does that whole thing work?
Face ID?
Transplant?
If you get a face transplant, like does the iPhone come with it?
With your new iPhone, you also get a face transplant. So work with your Face ID.
It's true.
Wow. Kind of dark. So what is a 52 hertz whale?
52 hertz whale is a whale that communicates at 52 hertz.
It can't be.
And why is that relevant at all?
Because whales communicate at different frequencies, and there's only one whale in the entire world that communicates at 52 hertz, and its name is 52 hertz whale.
How would we know that? We can't speak to the whale.
Because
I told you that that is absolutely correct?
Underwater recordings.
Are you serious? I I'm so sad now.
Wait.
What frequency do other whales communicate at?
Most whales go, I think it's 10 to 40.
Okay.
And so there's this one whale that...
So that whale sounds a little bit like this if you're talking about whales.
Oh my gosh, not only is the whale lonely, but it has an annoying voice.
So we
it's
as...
It's the Mickey Mouse whale.
So we as humans have projected this identity of the world's loneliest whale because we assume that it can't communicate with other whales as a result. When in fact, I think it can. It probably can. It's just not matching up in the same way.
It's probably just the annoying whale with a high voice.
So it's still lonely.
I mean, the difference between
like not picked for any sporting teams.
The difference whale between kickball. 40 hertz and 52 hertz is very vastly different from between the difference between 52 hertz and 400 hertz, like what Gary said earlier, which is like almost exactly the same thing. So. They can definitely hear the whale. It's just that he sounds, he or she, sounds really annoying. Hi, guys. What you doing? Oh, let's
What's
go.
What's also
here.
Really interesting is they can't seem to identify the kind of whale. So they think it's like a hybrid whale, or maybe it's potentially like a deaf whale. They have all sorts of different theories.
But I love a hybrid whale.
So it's like internal combustion and battery-powered whale.
Yeah. It like travels solo.
Solar power.
It's deepened a little bit to like 49 in the past few years, I guess.
Oh, so now it sounds a little more like this.
I think what's so funny.
I want to know what the difference was between your 52 and 49.
This is 52. This is 49.
No, like as a percentage, I want to know. Like we need to figure out.
Are you close?
They compared it to like just a little higher than the lowest note on a tuba, which is still like really low to me.
Well, yeah, but it's a whale.
But it's less fun than a Mickey Mouse whale, for sure.
Well, I mean, I'm talking relatively for whales, if you're...
For whales, yeah, I know. But yeah, so the loneliest whale in the world, poor guy.
I don't think it's the loneliest whale in the world.
It's just
the most misunderstood.
It's just the most misunderstood.
It's the black most, nail polish.
It's definitely the goth whale.
it's just kind of the whale that sings by itself, and I guess it's just kind of like oddly poetic and weird.
I'm an artist, Mom.
And like the fact
I'm an artist, Mom. That's what I meant to say.
I'm an artist, Mom. And like the fact that no one's responding in the same way. They're just like, oh, here comes Terry again. Like,
Exactly. That's exactly. Oh, we're gonna go look for some fish over this way.
Where are you going, guys?
Wait up! Not my glasses.
No. Oh no. Oh, I think it's time for listener questions, isn't it?
Yes, we don't have listener questions this week. If you want to submit listener questions, please go to binaryjazz.us and scroll down to the form, and we'll answer your questions on an episode in the future. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at binaryjazz. When we don't have questions, Allison gives us questions. We have many Allison questions. We have 6 minutes left, so I'm going to go to the beginning, which is the oldest one, and your daughter has to go to school dressed as a famous person from history and has asked you to help. You're not allowed to buy anything, can only use what you have at home. Who would you go as, and what would you use?
I forgot about this question, to be honest.
This would definitely be a thing where I would need buy-in from her in the process, right? So we would have to brainstorm together to figure out who that would be.
Yeah.
The who doesn't matter as much, though. We would raid the dress-up basket and make it work, which includes things like a butterfly headband, a cowboy hat,
a safety vest, a construction hat. Oh my gosh! Apparently she would go as the who sings the song YMCA.
The Village People?
Thank you. Should we go to Village People?
I don't think there was a butterfly in the Village People, Gary.
There is now.
In lieu of an Indian.
Yeah, definitely more culturally sensitive.
We'll sub out. Yeah.
I mean, I want to say like Joan of Arc, but I don't, again, like the buy-in from her, I mean, she would probably kick me if I tried to
disrupt. If you tried to burn her at the stake? Yeah, I would hope
no.
so.
Joan of Arc is awesome. Just because she was burned at the stake. I mean, that's one thing that happened to her.
That's later on.
Yeah, that's at the end. At the end of the story.
That's not when you first show up for right. your school project.
Yeah.
Unless you're like Wednesday Addams.
Although, now that you mention it, a Salem witch would also be a pretty good pretty good option.
On brand, for sure. All right, everybody start the show.
Next question. What are you reading right now? I'm not reading a whole lot.
I grabbed a book.
I'm in the middle of like three books. Actually, no, I just got a copy of, I'm not reading it per se because it's not a thing that you read, but I just got my copy of the Responsible Communication Style Guide.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I'm not reading it because it's a style guide. You don't read it, but I have been flipped through it many times recently, and that's pretty awesome.
That's a good reference.
There's also this is something. I've read parts of it. It was written by Aaron's great grandfather, not her grandfather, but her grandfather's father. And it's like a story of his life, but it's told in this really prosaic, non-linear, like a whole bunch of stories mashed together. So one day I was heading home and we decided to cross a potato patch, and we pulled up all the potatoes and we threw them at each other and made a big mess. And then the farmer who owned this potato patch saw, so we all ran back home and disappeared. And later that night, the farmer came by and he said, "Did you pull up my potatoes?" And I said, "I did." And so he said, "Well, we're gonna have to make you pay for those potatoes."
It's those fascinating day by days about potatoes that. Yeah.
So I have it because it came from her, because her grandparents both passed recently, and it kind of was uncovered amongst other stuff. And so I have it because our plan is to digitize it, to scan it and make copies. And I haven't done that yet. So sitting out, and while it's out, I've like picked it up and flipped through it. I'm like, wow, this is really both fascinating and really badly written, but also really, really bizarrely, morbidly interesting. So that's what I'm reading.
That's like quite the assortment.
Way better than what I'm reading.
Wait, what are you reading, Gary?
I picked up a textbook from on software management, like software writing management from like the late 70s.
The late 70s.
Yeah, it's just so wild, like what best practices were at the time, or even like just thoughts of best practices were. Like, how do you take requirements and turn it into software?
Are you finding it relevant at all, or?
I'm finding parts of it, like, we fall into many of the same, like, traps based on, like, assuming understanding of knowledge, like, assuming understanding of intent, and we still can't get user interfaces right.
I was watching a talk yesterday, and he quoted some old paper from the 60s or something, but it was talking about how software is only incidentally written for computers and machines. Software is a language that is trying to communicate a set of instructions or a set of solutions to problems from one programmer to another programmer. It's a means by which we communicate to other developers. And as such, yeah, we're really bad at it because we write code that is indecipherable. We don't comment our stuff. And that's not the point of software. It's not to make a thing happen.
Yeah. I'm so against the standard of blanket doc blocks. Like, inline comments are super useful. Blanket doc blocks are...
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.